Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our heads in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve,
you deserve the glory
and the honor. You're a faithful God. Awesome is your name. You do mighty things. You do glory. You're a faithful God. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. You're a miracle working God. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. You're a miracle working God. Your name. You want to declare it. Your name, your name, your name is
Yahweh.
Hey.
Your name is Yahweh.
You are a miracle working God.
You're a miracle
working God.
Your name,
your name, your name, your name. Your name. Your name is Yahweh. Somebody bless him. Bless him in this place. Your name is Yahweh. Miracle working God. Your name is. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, mighty Lord. Thank you, mighty Jesus. Mighty Yeshua. Mighty Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. What a good God. What a great God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, your mercy that endure forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. I hope everyone can hear us fine today. Thank you, Lord, before we can. Amen. Thank you, sister. Amen. Before we can begin the program, thank you, Lord. Want to make sure. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Are coming in, hallelujah, clear tonight, hallelujah, for the glory of the Lord. Shalom, each and one of you, blessing, blessing, blessing in the Lord, amen. Thank you, sister, thank you, Lord, thank you, God, hallelujah. I'm here with my brother Tony, hallelujah, praise the Lord, who will be sharing with us. Brother Tony, say hello to the people.
Hello, hello, God bless you all.
Amen, I still logging in tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Amen. We are grateful for the blessing of the opportunity to share God's word and God's revelation. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Mighty God we serve. Mighty Lord we serve. I'm wondering where do we begin. Amen. And if we're going to begin in the beginning, we will have to go to Genesis. Amen. So where do we begin? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm going to begin in Revelation 18. Amen. I wanted to bring an important topic tonight, but I've been getting this dream and revelation from the Lord. And so I want to stick with what the Lord has been showing me in regard to what is coming. Amen. Things about to happen that we need to talk about, my brother and my sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. That's why I said, if you can hear us fine, loud and clear, please let us know, because we want to make sure the message goes out tonight and it blesses people's life, especially those that are that need the Lord urgent before the judgment begins to happen, as the Lord has said there about this year, they will see. That's the word of the Lord to me about this year. They will see, my brother and my sister. After he showed me California judgment in the eastern tsunami coming on the United States this year the Lord said they will see, my brother and my sister. So thank you, Lord. It's not about fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear for us to be, as the Bible said again, in slavery, because he had not given us a spirit of fear, my brother, but of dominion and power. Amen. But truth, the truth needs to be spoken. The truth needs to be spoken. And God has chosen us to carry, to preach his words. My brother and my sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And we just want to be obedient to the Lord. That's all it is. We want to be obedient to what the Lord is saying to us. That is coming, my brother and my sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord, as he has chosen us to bring his word. Thank you, Yeshua. Now, the Lord, I began with the revelation I received 2 days ago in the morning, 2 mornings ago. I was taken to hell, my brother and sister. And this time, I tell you, it was not so hard at the last time, because this time I was in Abraham's bosom, which is a better place to be than inside hell. Now, Abraham's bosom made war with hell down there. This is where there were many captives for many years there. This is what the rich man could see Lazarus, and Lazarus can see him too, because I could see through the wall, through that glass wall, if you can call it, to the other side, as people could see to where I was also, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And before I go into the revelation, I got to go into the word of God, my brother and sister. Hell is real. I was wondering if people, here before this revelation, if the Lord can hear their prayer. And biblically, I would think that Jonah, when he was in hell in the belly of the whale, or the great fish, I'm sorry, he said that he cried out of hell to the Lord, okay? And the Lord, they hear Jonah, my brother and sister. The Lord, they hear him. It says, as I said, I cried by the reason of my affliction unto the Lord. Because in hell there is affliction. And I will describe it as great affliction. But he says, I cry by the reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he hear me. He hear me. And out of the belly of hell cry I. And thou hear my voice, says Jonah. So what I saw was that yes, the Lord can hear these people's prayer. But not only that, but by unexplainable explanation, the Lord is there. And it's in the word of God. My brother and sister, the Lord can hear their prayer. And it's shocking to us, my brother and sister. Now, Psalm 139:8 says, if I ascend unto the heaven, thou art there. If I made my bed in hell, what does it say to him?
Thou art there.
Is the Lord there? Yes, he is. And this is the thing that was shocking to me when I was there. I was standing by Abraham's bosom. Although these people are on the other side, somehow the Lord is there. How is he there? Well, David said he's there, Brother Tony. How do you explain that? Can you help me out?
Yeah, he is. You know, he created it. You know.
Can you help out this poor man who wants to understand the word of God?
Yeah, that's clear. Yeah, it says if I make my bed in hell.
Shalom, Brother Michael.
Yeah, there he is, yeah.
He said he's there.
Yeah.
At one time, I believe Father, who made the decision for the punishing of people, was there. And you may say, how? I don't know, but he's there.
Yeah.
And then the other question would be, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent.
Yeah.
Okay. So it will be something for us when we go to heaven and say, God, how are you there? Because he's there, and he'll tell her, I'm there. And this is what I experienced while I was speaking with these people on this side. The Lord was there, my brother and sister. I can't explain it. Mm-hmm. I just know that he was there, my brother and sister. The knowing of the Lord being there was in me clear that the Lord was there.
Yeah.
And when I come to the word of God in Psalm 39:8, the Lord is there. If I made my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. He's there. I just cannot explain it. The Lord will have to explain it to you, and then he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Thank you, Lord. But he's there. He is there. That I want to make clear, that the Lord is there, my brother and sister, because the Lord is everywhere also. He is God, and he's... There's no limitation to his power, is the way I can see it. You know, the devil's limited. Demons are limited, but not God. How can God be made limited to his creation? I believe that's impossible. There's no way he is limited to his creation. My brother and my sister, thank you, Lord. So again, Deuteronomy 32:22, for a fire is kindled in my anger, and it shall burn unto the lowest hell. Hell has lowest part. It's clearly there. And it shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountain. What are in the foundations of the mountain? Volcanoes. And they're going to be awakened. The foundations of the mountains are volcano. And it says that it shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundation. Those volcanoes will burn the earth with her increase. And the last day, what volcano were we talking about, Brother Tony, earlier that you mentioned about California?
Yeah, that's the Yellowstone. That's in Montana, I believe, up north. So it's close to pretty much western, close to west of the country, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, Yellowstone. And they say that's the biggest one here, I believe, in the U.S. They say it's huge, really big.
So that volcano in Yellowstone is about to create the biggest blackout in the United States, according to the scientific community, my brother and sister. A lot of people even wonder if the 3 days of darkness that are coming, probably this year, do they have to do anything with the Yellowstone volcano? You know? And that is the question of many people. And I'm not sure that could be answered through that. You know? But again, we were listening to a prophet of the Lord who was saying that when Jesus died, by 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., there was 3 hours of darkness that came upon the earth, which is another sign. That was not caused by a volcano.
No.
I think that the 3 days of darkness is a supernatural thing coming upon the earth. What do you think, Brother Tony?
Yeah. I see that like that also. Something like, I see it as a plague, you know, just like in Egypt, you know, it was a plague. But that came from God, though, you know, it was a plague of punishment, you know.
Amen.
Upon the wicked.
But it was not caused by a volcano.
No, not like in the word, you know. I believe it would be similar to how it happened, you know, like in scripture. You know, it was something that they can't describe, you know, regular person, you know, someone, an unbeliever, you know, can't explain.
Amen.
You know, it's something that, you know, you have to believe in God to, you understand something like that, you know, it's something
Amen.
Supernatural, you know.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
So the evidence of what people have been waiting for all this year, we believe this year God's going to show himself through the judgment that are coming, show his power, show his mighty power. Is what we believe God is going to do this year, my brother and sister. Here's one thing I experienced in hell yesterday morning. 2 Samuel 22:6. The sorrows of hell compass me about. The snare of death laid ahead of me. I experienced this sorrow so strong that I was so saddened for these people. It's like a sorrow or pain and suffering that you bring for being there. Although I was in what is called Abraham's bosom, you know, I was not in the suffering they were in, but I could see in their face the suffering they're in. It's pretty terrible, let me tell you. It's horrible what they're going through, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord. Hear what it went about. I was taken there, and as I was standing there on the side of the Abraham bosom, on the other side was like a mirror, like going to a high prison here in the United States, speaking to someone through a glass. A sister came up with her husband. I say a sister because they were Christian. And I said, sister, how are you and your husband here? You used to preach the gospel. And then she indicated, for some reason, she cannot tell me it was by seeing. But she indicated with her mouth and hand that it was through the by seeing. You know something? I realized that on Facebook, you cannot say the by seeing. They'll cut you off. They'll cut off your message. Now I know where YouTube gets this law from hell. It comes from hell. Because in hell, she could not tell me that she ended up there because of the by seeing. It's not allowed for her to tell me that. It will bring great torment to her life. There are many men and women of God on YouTube that their message being cut off and deleted for mentioning the things that are happening to people because of the by seeing, because of the COVID-19 by seeing. And in hell, I noticed that she could not tell me it was the by seeing. She briefly, like, describe it to me, so she will not get herself in trouble. So I can see the law of hell on YouTube, the law of hell on Facebook. Now, when someone say that we got a shadow of the Great Tribulation going on now on YouTube and Facebook, that is a true form of describing this. Because exactly what's going on YouTube and Facebook is going on in hell on the vaccinated that went down through the vaccine. Now, here's what she began to tell me. She said, Brother Elvie, when I was in my body, I was pregnant about 6 or 7 months. She described between 6 and 7 months pregnant. And she said she could feel her baby in her belly. She said that her baby and her were connected. And my brother and sister, she said that her and the baby was one. She can feel the baby. They were connected, my brother and sister. But when she got vaccinated, her and her husband, she got removed from her body down. And she lost the connection with her baby. And she said, I'm wondering how my baby is doing. Can you please go check on him? She says to me, for me, Brother Elvie. Can you go? She's from Massachusetts. They will preach the gospel at the Lord. They were well known, her and her husband, of preaching the gospel about the churches and places. My brother and sister. And she says to me, thank you, censoring, yes. She says to me that if I could go and check on her baby, because she wanted to know the way of the condition of the baby, if he was okay, if he was fine. She said she wondered. Because in hell, now she had to be removed from her body. She had no connection with her baby anymore, my brother and sister. And this is a question that many people had asked me months ago, years ago. What happened if a mother is pregnant and she goes and takes the vaccine? That she goes down with the baby? The answer is no. She goes down by herself like this mother and loses that connection with her baby. And she said her husband and her were wondering if her baby was okay. Because one thing that they may not know right away or may not see or may not understand, that in the moment they got removed, a demon got placed in their body. As the Lord showed me. The Lord showed me. I saw it. I saw them putting a demon in people's body. My brother and sister. So she was wondering if her baby was okay. My brother and sister. Again, I'm in North Carolina. They're in Massachusetts. So I was thinking, I don't know if I want to go to Massachusetts to find out what's going on with her baby. Me thinking, you know, I don't know if that's a trip I want to take. I didn't promise her I'm going to go to Massachusetts and speak with that thing and find out how the baby's doing. By this time, he should have been born 2 or 3 years ago, and she got vaccinated back in the early 2020. I believe that the first vaccine started late 2020, if I'm correct. It was, you know, first 2021 that people, you know, really began to get vaccinated, my brother and sister. But at all this, I knew the Lord was there, my brother and sister. Then God proceeded to show me something awesome. Out of all this chaos, seeing their face, I saw a brother there who says, "Will you pray for me? Please, Elby, pray for me," he says. He looked very beaten by the demonic there. And one thing the Lord showed me, they had to hide themselves. In the daytime, the demon don't come out. They hide themselves for whatever reason it is. Because they're in the upper part of hell. They're not in with the fire and all that is. So this tunnel that leads them to the lower part, where they're being chased by demon, they can go to this tunnel to the lower part to stay away. Demon don't want to come to that consuming fire, but the person can get close to that fire and the demon will leave them alone. So to them it's like a hideout. They have hideouts in hell, my brother and sister. So, you know, seeing what they have to go through every day is terrible. They don't like it. It's difficult. They have to be in hideout. But the Lord can hear the prayer, though. The Lord can hear the prayer of the Christians that are down there, my brother and sister. Again, I know a lot of people wonder, well, is that in the Bible? My brother insisted. David said, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption." Hallelujah. While David was there, Psalm 18:5 said, "The sorrow of hell compassed me about. The snare of death laid me before me." David, for some reason, ended up there. And we were talking about this. How did David end up in that place? When in his life, in his ministry, we believe that when David ordered for this, was it Bathsheba, right?
Yeah,
Bathsheba's husband to be put in the front to be in kill of the army, at that very moment, it was like he committed a great sin, murder, right?
Yeah.
And then took his wife. But he took his wife before he ended up killing him. That was murder. That was charge.
Yeah.
It was like double punishment. The only thing is we know that David said he was in hell and that the sorrow of hell compassed him about. So he finds himself there. Joel said he was there. Jonah said he was there. Okay? Joel even said that the fear of this evil one made him afraid. And Jonah said he cried from the belly of hell. So we know that the Lord heard his prayer, Jonah said. So the Lord hears these people's prayer, my brother and my sister. Hallelujah. It says, Psalm 55:15, lest death sit upon them. We know that death directly is the one removing and putting the spirit there, removing the son, putting the spirit. I saw that. Let them go down alive into hell. That's what I saw. For wickedness is in the dwelling among them. So the reason why they were taking, according to David, is because wickedness were in their dwelling. How do you say dwelling?
Dwelling,
yeah. What kind of dwelling you think of here? Their body or their house?
Yeah, that, in this case, it'd be the body, right?
I believe both.
Both, yeah.
In their body and their home.
Yeah.
So let death seep upon them, let them go down life into hell. For wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. And that might be the reason why David, because of the wickedness that was in his dwelling, taking that man's wife to his home, his own wife, and then killing the man. Yeah. So wickedness was in his dwelling and among them. So we can see that that made sense to us,
mm-hmm.
that this time was when David experienced being taken down to hell. But God, you know, he believed that God was not going to leave his soul there. So God will not leave my soul in hell. Why do you say that? Was that faith, Brother Tony, that he would say that?
Yeah, that sounds like faith, yeah.
It was something he believed. Or something he knew. Thank you, Lord.
I see that as faith, too, because, you know, it's like he believed, you know, it was just a temporal suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just knew, like, I believe from the Lord himself that he will restore him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like like here, you know, we know from the Holy Spirit, you know, we know from him. He gives witness to our spirit, you know, he gives witness to us.
Amen.
And so I believe he just knew he was going to come out, but, he didn't know when,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless the Lord reveals it, but he just knew he would come out of it eventually.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was like an act of faith.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
And the person I'm talking about, the sister and brother that, some of you may not know them. Up north, they preached the gospel. They went to church. But somehow, they took the vaccine. And we were wondering that, like David or like these people, you know, why did they end up taking the vaccine? We were having this conversation. And then we were saying that they didn't put God first then. And the other one is they forsaking the first love. That's the other one. They forsaking the first love.
Yeah.
And that means that Brother Ben was saying, Brother Benjamin was saying earlier, that they should have prayed. They should have asked the Lord. And that's part of the first love, of seeking God, asking God first before you go take the vaccine. Because the wicked is not the virus. The virus can go away eventually. The vaccine doesn't. It changes your DNA. My brother and sister, it's wicked, it's evil. And by changing your DNA, they can remove the soul. My brother, so I know that the consequence is that these people were taken down there, and they're there, and they're full of sorrow and pain. They want to get out. But here's the coolest thing, awesome thing God showed me. God showed me this after he took me there. He wanted to show me something awesome. And what he showed me is that these people who took the vaccine, let's say late 2020, if you count the year of them from there to now, it's about, what, 3 years?
Yeah, about.
A little bit over 3 years, right?
Yeah.
So that means that if they were supposed to wait to the end of the 7 year to be taken out of there, God showed me that the time that have passed counts for them because they've been down there. and that he's going to set them free. He said he came to set the captive free. God's going to set them free when the time is up. They have a time in which they're going to be set free. And God, if they remain faithful, as the Lord said through Sister Celeste, if they don't worship the devil, which that's why the demons harass them every day, beat them every day, if I can use that word, abuse them every day like Hitler and the Germans, okay, the Nazi. The Nazi beat the Jewish people to denying God. And the Jewish people in those camps of Germany refused to deny God, so they gassed them. They killed them. Listen, it is better to die than denying God. It is better to die than denying God. That's why that verse that we found are those that Psalm 9:17, the wicked should be turned into hell. In all the nations, there's one Bible that reject God. The Nazi, Hitler, was asking the Jewish people to reject God, and they refused, even putting God to their head. Marvel interesting. Even putting God to their head. Okay? And so, yes, these demons everybody are pretending to be the loved ones, the family. She wanted me to go to Massachusetts and see the one occupying her body where her son, you know, is born already, how her son is doing. But I have no plan to go to Massachusetts lately. But what I understand is that, because I asked the Lord, is that I'm supposed to pray for them? And the Lord said, yes. So I began to pray for them already. My brother, and there are many other people there. One before I was taken out of there says to me, from among the people, we have no food here. He says to me, they're hungry. We're hungry. We have no food here. You know, here on earth, they could order pizza. They can go to McDonald's, Burger King. They had all these privileges that a lot of people don't even think are privileges. Mm-hmm. See, God gave us so much. Now that they're down there, no water and no food. Cannot order Papa John. They cannot order pizza anymore. No Domino's anymore. None of these local pizza anymore. No restaurant anymore. Okay? All that privileges are lost. My brother insisted. And they're wondering when they're going to get out. They will get out if they remember what the Word of God says. Okay? Through Daniel, see, Daniel wanted to know. I'm going to go to Daniel 12 now. When will be the end of what his people was going through? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And what is revealed to Daniel, what's going to happen with his people is, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me say, Daniel is asking, okay? Many of those who sleep in the dust, verse Daniel 12, 2, and the earth will be awake, shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, and they that are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and they will be turned to many, that turn many to righteousness as a star forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book, even to the time of the end. For many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, and stood two other, one on the side of the bank of the river, and the other at the side of the bank of the river. One said to the men of clothes and linen, who was upon the water of the river, how long shall it be to the end of this wonder? And I heard the men clothes and linen, who was upon the water of the river, who held up his right hand and left him unto the heaven and swore by him was delivered forever, that it should be for a time and a half. That's two times and a half. Time and a half is two times and a half. Okay? And then when it shall be accomplished according to the power of the holy people and those things that are to be finished, according to the holy people and all the things to be finished. talking about the holy people. He's talking about the Christians. That's symbolic. That's a sign. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, oh, my Lord, what should be the end of these things? This is the ultimate question. Here is where you follow the sign. What should be the end of these things? Hallelujah. I'm sorry, but you don't know this person. What should be the end of these things? What should be the end of these things? Hallelujah. The end of these things, my brother and sister, will only be brought by the one who's the beginning, who is now, and who is the end. Jesus Christ, our Lord, Messiah. He brings the end because he brought us the beginning. Thank you, Lord. Again, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the word are closed up and sealed to the end of the time of the end. These words were sealed to the end time of the end. For many should be purified and made white and try. This is how this is the foundation of the Christian life. My brother insisted, how do we get to be enraptured? How do we get to be enraptured? We need to be purified. We need to be made white and try. What is that? Trials, testing. The testing of the Christian life. God to purify us more and make us white. He needs to try us. Trial. The by seeing us the COVID was only a part of a try, a test. Whether you take it or you reject it. If you trust the Lord, you will not take it. If you took it, you didn't trust the Lord. If the Lord was first in life, you reject it by seeing. But if the Lord was second in your life, you will take it by seeing. People who took it by seeing had the Lord second or third or first in their life. That's why they first put the by seeing as a safety to themselves, not the Lord as a safety. And that's why they ended up there. It's a consequence of choice, as Jesus explained it to me at one time. They're here out of their own choice. They chose the by seeing as their protection instead of choosing the Lord as their protection. My brother and sister. But the wicked should do wickedly. And none of the wicked should understand. That's why when people say, I don't understand, I say you need to repent. Because Christians are supposed to understand. The wicked should not understand. You see it right there in the word, Brother Tony?
Yeah.
The wicked should not understand. But the righteous should understand. You see what I'm saying? So if you say to me, Brother Ovi, I don't understand, then you need to repent. You need to repent and turn to the Lord. Because as a Christian, you should understand. If you got the Spirit of God like Daniel in you, you should understand. Or like Daniel seeked from the Lord to understand. Because that's what Daniel did. Daniel didn't know what was going to happen. But as Daniel sought the Lord in prayer and fasting, the Lord sent his angel Gabriel, and the Lord came himself to Daniel and revealed what was going to happen. I've been seeking the Lord to know more. That's why he took me back down there again, so he can show me more, but show it to me in a way that I can understand. So he brought me out. He took me into the great tribulation, and he began to show me how people were finishing their time, and he was saving them, taking the soul out and saving them. And I could see the power of God doing this. And those the time was being finished. And he revealed to me that this time, since they've been vaccinated, counts. That's why the Lord delaying his coming is a good thing for them. Not necessarily for us, who wants to go home already. But for them that are there, our family, it's a good thing. Because then we're given the blessing to pray for them. We should already be doing so. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. But the wise shall understand. See, it's simple. It's simple. Christians should understand because the wise virgin understood. The foolish virgin did not understand they needed to be ready with the oil. So they ended up staying behind. We need to be wise in the Lord, my brothers and sisters. Seek this with all your heart. Verse 11, and from the time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, the abomination shall make it desolated to set up. And there shall be 1,290 years. By the half of the great tribulation, the Antichrist, the abomination, Obama, sets in the and desolate the third temple. It may say abominable to God, because he sets in the temple as God says for. So that abomination sets in the temple of God, makes the temple an abomination, and then it gets destroyed, because it's supposed to be for God. And the Gentile will step there for 42 months. Yes, they will. And I believe this is where Russia and China and them, through the Antichrist, are controlling Israel, are in the Temple Mount until Messiah comes and removes the wicked out of the land, according to Matthew 24, my brothers and sisters. But for 42 months, they're going to be there. This is why Netanyahu and them that I'm fighting, the Gentile will take them over. The Gentile nation will take them over, Russia and China, for 42 months, is the Bible. 42 months. And I know a lot of people are praying that that doesn't happen. But will not the word of God be fulfilled? Will not the word of God be fulfilled? Of course it will be fulfilled. God cannot be a liar. Let every man be lying, God be truthful, right?
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, thank you, Lord. So every time I hear people talking on the news about stuff like this, I look into the word of God, and I see these things coming to pass according to the word. But I hear people praying against it. And I say, can people pray against the word of God for the word of God not to be fulfilled, Brother Tony?
You're right, you know, just the scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. You know, it's, you know, there's certain prayers God will not hear, you know, it's, you know, especially when it's, you know, God already said, you know.
Pastor Hagee has a group of hundreds of thousands and millions in America who are joining with him in prayer for God to keep Israel protected during the Great Tribulation, and that nothing bad will happen to them. I kind of refused to join that group, because I felt like that was contradicting God's word, because they're doing it in a way where God said this is going to happen, but they're saying if we pray, it's not going to happen. And he, according to him, and this is where false teaching can be, can comment there, God tells you what's going to happen so you can pray and change it, according to him. And I said, I haven't read in the word where Moses prayed or Abraham prayed when God revealed to Abraham that his children will be enslaved in Egypt for 430 years. I didn't see Abraham praying to God, so that would not happen. When the angel of the Lord came to Moses and told him he will deliver from all these nations that they will have to go through, I didn't see Moses praying that they didn't have to fight these nations. I didn't see that happen. I haven't seen anyone praying when David was anointed by Samuel to be a king. I didn't see David praying that Samuel will remove by the power of God and he will come into office right away. And I didn't see Moses, I didn't see David praying when Samuel was persecuting David to kill him, for Samuel to stop. Samuel kept doing that for years. My brother and sister, there's a lot of things that I did not see the old prophet at all, the elder praying for these things not to happen. And they did not happen. They did happen. They actually prayed in the time of Samson that God will raise someone that will defend them, because there will be they believe a remnant must be left, because there was practically anything left from the children of Israel. And God did raise Samuel. But it was already a promise of God that a remnant will be kept. They pray according to what God had promised, not against what God had already promised. And I believe that any prayer against what God has said it's not right. What do you think, Brother Tony?
Yeah, that's how I see it also, you know. Yeah, when you brought up about what God told Abraham, you know, that really makes sense because God told them they were going to slavery, right? And we don't see in the word that you would think of, you know, that he would intercede. But no, that doesn't show in the word. He did intercede for, you know, try to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, if there's, you know, 10, if there's 10, you know, will you spare the city? But that's, you know, that's, you know.
Even when Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah to be spared, were they were spared? No. No, they were not spared. Law and his family were spared. Yeah. But the entire city was full of people.
Yeah.
Full of children and elder and everyone. We're all consumed by the fire of God.
Yeah.
And Abraham interceded for them. And he was a prayer warrior. Abraham was a prayer warrior. His prayer went straight to the throne of God. He was speaking with the Lord himself face to face. And still Sodom and Gomorrah were not spared. My brother and sister. That's why I'm telling you. The word of God is a sword. And it can be used wrong. Hagee and them believe that if they pray what the Bible says against Israel in the Great Tribulation, what they're going to have to go through, Israel will not go through, then they'll be protected. I don't believe that. I believe that what God says is going to come to pass, whether they pray it or not. That we should pray what the Bible says is going to come to pass, not that I am battle evil to anyone. But we can pray what God promised to us, and he'll bring it to pass because he made the promise. My brother, my sister, thank you, Lord. Verse 12, blessed is he that waited and come to the 1,300 year and fight for 30 days. My brother and sister, if God says they're blessed for waiting for this, for what he said they're going to come to pass, to come to pass, blessed is good.
Yeah.
Blessed is good, right?
Yeah.
And God says it's blessed to him that waited. There'll be people waiting down there and up here until these years finish for Messiah to return. My brother insisted. Because Jesus is the beginning and the end. And he's going to bring an end to all this evil down here. It's that the trial that will come upon humanity has come. COVID-19 is a proof of that. But go thou way unto the end for thou shalt rest and stand in the light at the end of those days. Daniel will stand in the light. He will be a witness to see the end. My brother says, I'm sure you'll see it from heaven, though.
Yeah.
Although God can bring them down here also and see it, but he'll see the end, my brother insisted. But he was told to rest. Rest. Now rest is the only thing in heaven. He's in heaven. He was told to rest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and my sister, these things are coming to pass. God said they would. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So the sorrow of hell can pass me about the snare they laid me before me, my brother and sister. So this morning, I was taking my brother and sister to the a month after the Eastern tsunami had come in the earthquake in California. And I was up north, and people had relocated, and they began to take these home and mansion, the people that die. You know that most of the richest people, billionaire and millionaire, have their homes close to the beach, the water, especially out north and everywhere. And these tsunami, when it comes, all these mansions and homes that are next to the water are destroyed by the owner. And most of the rich people will be on the jet in the middle of the sea, fishing and enjoying life. And when the tsunami comes, that is Eastern tsunami, it's going to turn their jet around and kill them. And I saw a month after they left homes, buildings out north in the Hampton, if you want to say it, because upper Massachusetts. And these people saw these mansions and home and building, It was not specifically in the hand, but it was close to it. And they began to take them as their home. I was asking Brother Tony and Brother Ben, because the logistic about it, I said, Brother Tony, Brother Ben, what do you think? Is this legal, what they're going to do? Because I heard a minister that I know in the north, a month after the judgment, the California destroyed the eastern part of the United States, destroyed, and they were taking all these homes that these people that got killed through the tsunami were left as a home. I was asking them, is this legal? And what do you brother say, Brother Tony?
Yeah, I said that's a difficult one, but you know, I wouldn't like to be around it. Yeah, I wouldn't like to be around it, but those that you know that will be, it's, it's one of those things, you know, that the Lord has promised, you know, the blessing of the, you know, there's no promise for the wicked, you know. The Bible says, you know, that the wicked will perish.
The riches of the wicked will give it to the righteous.
Yeah, so, you know, the wicked have no part with those that are not his, that are not part of the Lord. That the Bible says the Lord knows who are his, you know, and those that are not of the Lord, then the promise to us is their riches will be ours, you know, and it's really, the promise is it's for us, you know, it's for the righteous, you know, it's God blesses the righteous and you know, and it's...
Because the pastor was saying that God, you know, preacher was talking about this judgment to come, preacher like me, he was saying, we're preaching about this judgment to come, and it came, he says, but what the devil meant for evil, God turned it around for good,
yeah.
And now... they have received all these blessings in disguise when people were waiting for judgment. And now they had all these homes, really expensive homes, cheap. They got them cheap because now the city has to make it available, whoever, the owner, whatever. Like if you have $100 or $1,000, you can buy a mansion for that price. If it costs $10 million, $3 million, you can buy it for $1,000 now, $500, whatever. You know, and so with so many people, so many millions of people dead is what I saw. Hundreds of millions of people dead in the United States. Now I made it easy for people to buy homes as I was walking there. And so all this abundance of so many homes with millions of people dead. Look, the water is going to bring a lot of alligators and sharks that are going to eat the body of all these people. Because remember that the ocean is coming like from the part of Puerto Rico, as the Lord showed Brother Ephraim. And then next to the island of Puerto Rico, Mona, all that place is full of sharks, millions of sharks. And the water is bringing all the sharks north with this tsunami. And when the sea comes into the city here, Charlotte, Raleigh, all these cities, going down north. All the people that are in the home and all that, since it's over 100 feet of water, the shark and the alligator begin to eat the people that are even trying to swim or are dead by the water. So there's basically no dead body floating around because the shark and the fish are eating them, my brother and sister. Because why do I think this way? Because I didn't see no floating body. At one time, they saw floating body. But a month after, they were all gone. People didn't have to worry about burying people because the shark and the alligator ate them. It's a great feast, like the Bible says, for the bird when the Lord goes and fights in the valley of Armageddon. Doesn't the Lord buy all the birds of the air to come and eat the flesh of captains, small and great? So similar to that is for the alligator and the sharks. They're eating all these bodies. And there's nothing left. They have a great feast. especially with so many people overweight today living in the coast. The sharks are having a feast. The alligators are, my brothers and sisters. And that's the fact of the matter in all this judgment. And the Lord says to me that this Shia will not pass until the judgment comes. I have to remind people of this. I heard the Lord saying this. My brother and sister, it's close. It's close. There's a April 3-8, full moon coming up. Same moon we had in 2020 when those hurricanes hit the United States, Houston. My brother and sister, terrible. Thank you, Lord. So, judgment is coming. And the pastor was saying in his message there as I was listening that, yes, God brought this judgment, came, but now people, Christian, that were waiting on the Lord are blessed now, he says, because of this judgment. The judgment, he said, brought a blessing in the sky, he said, as I was listening to him in his message. And I was like, okay, I was listening. I don't say I agree with him 100%, but that was his message, my brother and sister there. Ask the Lord, have me listen to him. Because, you know, then you wonder, if you take these home, is that legal? Is that right? My brother and sister, is that what God meant, that the wealth of the heathen will be passed to the righteous, will be given to the righteous? You know, then you wonder. And, you know, the Bible has made that a question lead to another question and another question and another question. You know, God, think about this. Rabbi said that the word of God had made that a question lead to another question. And I wonder if that was true. And then I look to Jesus. Jesus not necessarily gave an answer. Because when he was asked about John the Baptist, Jesus asked him another question, if he was sent by God or not. Yeah. And left the people questioning, well, was he or not? He didn't give him an answer. When Jesus got arrested and was brought before the high priest, are you the king of the Jewish? He didn't say yes. He says, you say I am. What does that mean? He always give him a question with a question. You know? My brother says, look at Jesus. Look what how he answered. He answered a question with another question. Why? Because that's how we learn. That's how we learn in the Lord. It will lead you to more questions, my brother and sister. But also it's because God is the answer to all questions. And the more you come closer to him, when you come with your question and more question, God will lead you to more questions, but you begin to understand that God is the answer to all. That he's all in all, as the Bible says. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe that in the moment, Rabbi said that in the moment you find the answer to all the questions, then why do you need to read the Bible for it? Because you got all your answers. So God gave to give us a taste of himself through his word, so we will keep coming to him for more. And I think that makes sense. There's wisdom in that, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 86:13, for great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lower hell. Does that mean that there's a lower hell, Brother Tony?
Lowest hell, yeah. That sounds like the worst part. You know, lowest hell. Like more punishment, more torment, right? Sounds like.
Mm-hmm. More fire. The fire is more intense.
Yeah.
In heaven, you go from the first level, the higher you go, the more of God you get. But in hell is the opposite.
the more torment.
The most intense as you go up in heaven, the most intense as you go down in hell. See, hell is like upside down. Heaven is straight up.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible? Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the will of God is for us to be in the highest, you know, in heaven. You know, the more joy, the more closer to Him, you know.
Yes.
That's His will for us to get there, and it's what He's trying to do with us, you know. It's where He wants to bring us. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Look at this on 116:3, Brother Tony.
Yeah. The sorrows of death encompassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow.
So how is it down there, Brother Tony?
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of torment, yeah. A lot of pain, like it says there, a lot of trouble and sorrow. Yeah.
That would encompass. Is that like the worst around, no?
Yeah.
Wow. The pain of hell got hold upon me. And that's what you feel when you go down there, that pain.
Yeah.
It's like unavoidable. It's just there.
Just there, yeah.
And I found trouble and sorrow. It's like you cannot find anything else but trouble and sorrow. Isn't that incredible how true that is? And that's exactly what I felt being there. But I said to this young lady, she, with her 23, 24, I said to her, that why did she end up there? And then she said, because of the by seeing, you know, he says. But, you know, what I was trying to say to her is, why did you choose the by seeing instead of trusting the Lord? And that's what they become to realize when they end up there, that they should have trusted the Lord for their help, for their protection against the virus. That what the government said, or your job, or whatever, you need to take it, they should have refused it, like we did. We refused it.
Yeah.
And we felt threatened during that time. We were threatened. How do you feel, Brother Tony?
It got to the point where, you know, for me, it was the conviction of the Lord was really strong. It's like fire, you know. It's something that I knew that I couldn't take. I knew from the Lord that was of the enemy, you know. So I saw everyone around me getting it, but no, I knew from the Lord that I cannot, you know, take some of that. But it was a test, yeah. But that shows that. That shows who's really trusting the Lord, and because, you know, that shows who's, like you say, who was in the first love, you know, who's trusting the Lord. If you love the Lord more than anyone or anything, you're not gonna take something like that, you know. You're not gonna take something of the world, you know, because you love God more. You trust the Lord for your health. You trust the Lord for your own life. You know, you trust the Lord more than anyone. So you're not going to take something that the world is offering you, you know, because you're not going to do that, because that shows that you're not trusting in God. Like David, you know, when he numbered Israel, his army, right? I see it as when David went and numbered his army, God, the Bible says that God was wroth. God was angry with what David did, so he brought the plague, right, upon the people because of the decision that David did. So we're supposed to trust God, you know, and
amen.
Even with the little that we have, we still have to trust God, and He's our all, you know. We don't depend on anything of this world because we're not from here, you know, and that really shows, so, you know, that we need to trust God for everything, you know, and receive nothing that the world gives to us, you know, and God is the one that gives us everything, you know.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
The teaching is there.
It's there, yeah.
The teaching is really there for us.
And there's many different Bible, examples, you know, that shows, you know, the people that went through difficult moments.
See, the one you said about Job earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, like Job, yeah, for sure. You know, that shows that Job loved God more than anything of this world. You know, he lost, you know, he lost a lot, but he still, the Bible says he still, you know,
remained faithful.
Yeah, remained faithful. You know, it shows that he trusted God, you know, no matter what. And that's what God is seeking, is that we trust in him.
Do you think that Job's friend would have got him vaccinated, but not Job?
The way the Bible says it, God was angry with his other three friends, you know, that were with Job. But God said that, because those other three men that were with Job, God said that they didn't speak right of him, but Job did. So God commanded Job to, he said, go and Job is going to pray for you, you know. So that shows that the right one, the one that was doing it right, was Job. You know, he was suffering, he was going through difficulties, but he was praising God, you know, and...
That means that we should not be blaming God for the bad decision we make and say it's God's fault, no?
Yeah, no, it's God is perfect. You know, he's the beginning and the end. We're imperfect. You know, we're the ones that make mistakes. We're supposed to trust God. Like I said, we have so many biblical examples. Look at Job. You know, I'm sure he had questions, but said no. He chose to trust God, praise God through his difficulties, and you know, God brought him through. But that shows that he trusted God, you know, and praised God instead. You know, that's exactly the attitude that God wants us to have in this life. No matter what happens, you know, just trust him, trusting God, praising him, you know, and because he knows why he does things, you know. We're the creation. He's the creator, you know. We're just, yeah, if we want to please him, that's got to be our attitude, you know. It's thankful. It's trusting him because he knows what's best for us, you know. You know, we're, like I said, you know, we're the clay. He's the potter, you know, and he knows what he's doing, you know. He's good, you know. That's got to be our attitude that he wants from us, and trust him, you know. He has brought many of us through, you know, and he's been so good, and we got just got to keep on trusting him. He's our source, you know. He's our all in all, you know, but we got to keep trusting him. He gives us everything, you know, and just like the children of Israel, you know, that's a great example. It's God brought him through. He was providing them everything, you know, and what was their job? Is just be thankful. Be thankful. And
7 days of the week of manna.
Yeah.
The best food ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I was meditating. I like that because you mentioned that God gave him the bread of angels. You know, it's a heavenly bread. You know, it was...
I feel like the food we're going to go eat in heaven, yeah, they were eating it down here.
Yeah.
What a blessing. What a privilege.
Yeah.
But they murmur.
Yeah.
They angry God. God was not pleased with their murmuring.
Yeah.
Because he was giving them the best and they kept complaining. Did that teach us not to be complaining?
Right.
To be ungrateful even for the little. Which one of us have gone hungry? Yeah. He has supplied our need.
Yeah.
He's been there for us. Even when we had not been there for him, he's been there for us.
Yeah.
And I said that the time that you say, I don't feel like praying today, and you went to bed, God was there for you.
Yeah.
Although you were not there in prayer. You know, the other morning, I was planning to go into prayer, and I decided to go a little later than the time I was going in. And then I heard the Lord say, I'm here. And it was like I heard a testimony of the sister that said, Lord, every day from 5 to 6, I'm going to be in prayer with you. Will you come? And the Lord says, I will come. And then she complained that she was tired and she fell asleep. And that is several times for several weeks. And she said to the Lord one day, Lord, When I fell asleep, were you still there, Lord? And the Lord said, I promise you I'll be there. And I was there when you fell asleep. I came as I promised you. I don't fail my promises. And the Lord says to me the same the other night. I was thinking, well, I've been praying at this time for the Lord, with the Lord. But tonight I think I'm going to rest a little bit more and start my prayer a little bit later, like 15 or half an hour later. And I heard the Lord say, I'm already here. So at that very moment, I shut off the TV and say, I'm going in prayer, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I began to repent. I'm sorry, Lord. But I heard this audible voice says, I'm already here. And I remember that testimony that when you make a promise to the Lord that you're going to be praying a certain time, he will come. He's faithful. He is faithful. We are not. We're trying every day to be unfaithful with him. And he's helping us. He's helping us. We're not faithful like him. We're not. He's faithful. He's perfect. And he's able to do anything. We're not. He's able to be on time all the time. We're not. We're not able. When he says to me, I'm already here, and I was thinking 50 minutes, maybe half an hour more, I heard him say, I'm already here. Whoa, what a shock that was to me. It was like, wow, he is so faithful. He is so on time. He was in my room on time. I was not ready. I wanted, like, let me watch another prophecy. Because I get all these prophecies, and so I leave them for the night. I went to my children in our sleep where I can go ahead and pay attention to them. You know, and maybe hear if the Lord say anything to me about, if I listen into a prophecy sometime, he'll speak to me about that word sometime. So let me know if it is. Shalom, Brother Miguel. You know, if you know, or sometime Lord confirmed this prophecy to me. He'll give me a dream. He'll speak to me later about it. You know, I want to hear what he has to say. Sometimes I'm listening, he's talking to me about it. So I like that. I want to know what the Lord has to say in regard to certain prophecy. My brother and sister, but for him to say, I'm here already. When I was putting up prayer for a little later, he knew I was going to stay up. Because he said to his disciple, and I've been keeping this in my heart. You know, who said that? I will keep that word, my David, in my heart so I will not sin against thee. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I've been keeping in my heart to pray at least an hour. As he said to Peter and Jonathan, could you not pray with me 1 hour? 1 hour. He's only asking us for 1 hour when we go into prayer. You can pray 3 and 4 hours a day, but when you go into prayer, pray at least that 1 hour. Because he told them, could you not pray with me at least 1 hour? That means he desired that hour. So I know that when I go into prayer, I got to pray at least 1 hour. You can pray an hour and a half, 2 and a half, you know. But that at least that 1 hour is important. And that's what I have in my heart to do with him. So I'm always making sure that I do that 1 hour. It doesn't mean I'm faithful because I'm doing it. It means I'm looking to do that. And I notice that he is so faithful that he helps us to do, you know, that thing that we say I'm going to do. Like it's been time I've been sick and it's been so hard to pray. But when I ask him for help, he prays through me. He gives me the strength to pray. Because he knows my heart that I would want to be unfaithful to him at least 1 hour, even though I'm sick. And I can hardly, my body's hurting. I can hardly move. But he remained faithful. Thank you. I've been rebuking viruses. 5 viruses are coming up every month. I'm rebuking them for my house, my life, my family. Even brothers and sisters, I'm rebuking this. I will ask you to do the same. Rebuke any virus. Bind them and rebuke. Every month they're releasing 5 viruses upon you according to the scientific community. Rebuke them. reject them, cast them out. But I proclaim the Lord's promise, by his stripe, by his wound, we are healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's important that we do this because, yes, they are coming. But, yes, our Lord is mighty. Yes, he is mighty. Yes, they are coming. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. All those viruses are a plan of the enemy. Health is a plan of God for us. Let's claim what God has promised us. Thank you, Jesus, and proclaim it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 139, Psalm 139:8. If I ascend unto heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, what does he say?
Behold, thou art there.
So this is why I experiencing two mornings ago that although I was in hell there and I was speaking with this lady, sister, the Lord was there. How can I explain that the Lord was there? I don't know, but I knew he was there. The knowledge of the Lord being there was there, clearly. So when people say Satan is in control, no, he's not. The Lord had looked at me and said, I'm in control. Not even a hell Satan is in control. Then I was meditating in my bed. How can I explain this to my brothers and sisters? Then I was in prayer. What came to me was that Jesus took the key of hell and Hades, a shield from the devil. When he overcame and went down, he took the key. Who has the key on the side of his clothing? Jesus. He has the key of hell and Sheol. So he's in control, not the devil, my brother and sister. He has the key to hell, the Bible says. Thank you, Lord. So this is why we should trust the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Her feet goes down to death, and her steps take hold of hell. Notice that this wicked woman, I think that's the prostitute.
Yeah, it calls her strange woman on the Bible. Yeah.
It sounds like the woman in the job of prostitution.
Yeah.
Her steps take hold of hell,
yeah.
My brother and sister. Because it's wickedness. It's sin what she's doing. It's making men sin and fall. I heard my wife was telling me about a raid they did in a place here, a prostitution. The police had surrounded the place to go in there. And all of a sudden, a cop came from his car and walked into the place to go pay for whatever business was going on in there. And he got arrested because they were raiding the place. And he didn't know that what was happening. And he was one of the customers there. The police was one of the customers there. He got arrested. It's in, you know, it's the people in high places participating in these evil things that are making our society evil. Then they blame the poor and the prostitutes and this and that. But why are there all these people in business? It's because there are people that are not supposed to be doing it also. My brother and sister, it's sad. It is so sad. Proverbs 7:27, her house is in the way to hell, leading down to the chamber of dead. My brother told me, why is her house leading to the chamber of dead?
Yeah, still talk about, you know, those that go to the, talking about the strange woman, yeah. That verse right there.
And strange women, you know what that means, strange flesh.
Strange flesh, yeah.
It's a pure contamination of the enemy, contaminating people to, where sons of God with strange flesh, you know?
Yeah.
And the sons of God went and married the daughters of men. And this, that gave a strange flesh evolution. And that strange flesh has been going around since the beginning. Because this is the beginning where God has to destroy the earth with water. Because there was so much contamination of strange flesh so many children that were giants because of what they did. But then later on, afterward, the Bible said there were giants on the earth. Strange flesh began to multiply, and we don't know why the giant size were reduced. When you wonder about that, because these giants was up to 30 feet and even higher. And under the sun, by they were still giant on the earth, but they were not so tall anymore. You know, for whatever reason it was, my brother and sister at one time. And it's been this way for years, and people wonder and think that the giant has disappeared. But there's more strange flesh today than ever on the earth, than even in the times of Noah, my brother and my sister. There is a lot of strange flesh on the earth. Hallelujah. Verse 9. But he knows not that death are there. This is a young man, right?
Yeah.
And that her guests are in the death of hell. In the Proverbs of Solomon. Her guests are in the death of hell.
That's their soul, right? The soul.
Guess.
Yeah.
Guess.
Yeah.
Her guests. That's a principality. Those are principalities coming in and out. Those are the guests.
Yeah.
But he knows now that the death are there and that her guests are. Where do they live? Where is their what do they call it, that place? Their army, the station. It's in hell.
Yeah.
That means they're in and out of hell. That's why we got so many strange flesh on the earth. That's what the pastor from Ecuador, when he went into the fasting and asked the Lord, why are there strange flesh children being born in some of his church? And the Lord told him the mix of the flesh. Then the Lord says that when Christians commit fornication and they go out and commit fornication, the devil claimed that his principality will go out and do the same and have children with women on the earth. And that's why these women go to the bar and meet a guy and they end up in a hotel somewhere. And then they're praying and they don't know who the father is. They don't know who the father child is. We were watching, my wife likes to watch some of the court cases where women come from the court doing blood tests and all that, thinking that this guy is the father. They find out, no, it's not. And the judge says to the woman, so who is the father? Who was you at that time? I don't know. I went to a bar and met a guy. I don't know. I've never seen this guy before. Where is he? I don't know. Where did he work? I don't know. So you don't know who the father is? No. My brother and sister. Because they're not supposed to be go sleeping around. Sorry for the word. I know it's a harsh word, but it's a true word. They're not supposed to go meeting with someone they don't know, they never seen, and being with the person. You know? Because they're born a child. Like one time in one movie I saw, the child was so wicked that wanted to kill the mom. The mom had to lock herself away from her own son growing up because she knew she was so wicked she could not contain him. And the movie was called The Son of the Devil. That was the title of the movie, The Son of the Devil. And the mom has to hide and lock herself in her room because her son was so wicked and evil that wanted to kill his own mother. And then he went around and he identified himself as the son of the devil. Everywhere he went, he told people he was the son of the devil. And he will kill people without any mercy. No one understood why was he so bad and so wicked. And there came a time where people in the neighborhood, that was back then, early time, when there was no television or anything, people in the neighborhood noticed that this guy was so wicked, he will kill people without any mercy. And the whole neighborhood came together and said, we need to stop him. We need to kill him. And they ended up fighting. Many men lost their life, but they ended up killing, injuring him until he died. But they knew he was the son of the devil, my brother and my sister. How wicked he was. How he was a killer, natural, what they call natural-born killer. This is the son to them, my brother and sister. Okay? Wicked. It's just hallelujah. Proverbs 15:11. Hell and destruction are the concern of the Lord. How much more then are the heart of the children of men? What do you understand by this, Brother Tony? That hell and destruction are the concern of the Lord. You know, I wouldn't even want to use that word concern, but then it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Concern, you know, like we should never concern. We should always be in peace and trust the Lord.
Yeah.
But then I see that the word concern is there.
Points out or reminds me of what you mentioned earlier. It's the Lord is there everywhere. You know, hell and destruction are before the Lord. That one says concern. So the Lord knows, you know, what
doesn't concern being worried. Or it mostly as a matter of taking care of the problem.
Yeah, that's how I see the word concern, yeah. This translation says concern, but yeah, the other one I read is that they hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the sons of children of men. But it still points out to the,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Lord knowing hell and destruction, in other words, you know.
That he's going to take care of this matter.
Yeah.
That how much more are the heart of children of men. Destruction, hell and destruction.
Yeah.
He's going to take care of hell, or he's going to take care of destruction.
That's right.
When the time comes. And the time is here practically,
yeah.
My brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Now, Proverbs 15:24, Brother Tony. It
says, the path of life is upward for the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath.
Is that what people did when they didn't take the right thing?
The path of life, that's the Lord, Jesus. The path of life is upward, like upward. Another verse, it says strength to the wise, the path of life.
But it uses the word wise, by taking wise decision.
Yeah.
Isn't that what people who did not take the right thing did? Say they made a wise decision.
Unwise decision, right?
Wise.
Yeah.
No, wise is not to take it. The wise
right.
bride, wise virgin.
Yeah.
Will not take the right thing.
Right.
The foolish word.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And the path of life is outward to the wise, but he that he may depart from the helping him. So wisdom is what we use not to take it.
Right, yeah.
To not to take the by sin to depart from the hell we need.
Yeah, that's right.
My Lord, my God. So, you know, is that kind of, those that took the by sin were not wise then. Were not a wise decision to make.
Yeah, no.
Because we see the consequence of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 23:14, thou should beat him with a rod and should deliver himself from hell. We know that this has been done away with, discipline. Mm-hmm. But discipline is of the Lord. Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of men never satisfy.
Mm-hmm.
So if hell and destructions are never full, that's why destruction and hell keeps doing what they do. They're always in business because they're never full. Wow. Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell had enlarged herself, opened her mouth beyond measure, the glory and the multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend to it. Wow. Hell enlarged herself, opened her mouth beyond measure, and the glory of the multitude of the pomp, he that rejoiced shall not shall descend to it. Wow. So you shall not rejoice because they enlarged in the sun, in other words. 49, Isaiah 49, hail from beneath, move from thee to meet thee at thy coming, turn up the dead for thee. Ever all the chief of the ones of the earth, it has raised up for their throne and the king of the nations. Then shall it be brought down to hell to the side of the pit. Wow. And that's the devil. That's birth, Isaiah 14. Okay, and here's the other thing. Isaiah 28:15. Because ye said ye have made a covenant with death, where hell and we are in agreement, when the overflowing is curses shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made life our refuge, and on our fortitude we have hid ourselves. And this is the Babylonian system. They have made a covenant, is what the other Bible said, with death. My brother and sister, they have made a covenant with them. My brother and sister. So we need to stay focused on Jesus and know that the Lord is for us. He's not against us. When we're talking about hell, we're talking about these things that God warned us to be in careful with. This is when we pray and we ask God for wisdom. We ask God to keep us. But don't make any sudden decision that can cost you. Because a lot of people that got vaccinated got made sudden decision thinking that they wanted to protect themselves. And now find out that they did not protect themselves. They actually opened themselves up to being taken to hell. And this is the harder part. I wish everyone here listening, the Lord take them to hell and show me what he showed me. But that's not the way the Lord works. The Lord always raised someone that he will show, like he did with Jeremiah, what is to come, and talk with them and reveal to them the meaning of what is coming so we can warn the people. But I will wish everyone listening will get a revelation from the Lord about the hell beneath and what these people who got vaccinated are going through, because they're going through a very, very difficult life. They're being beaten. I saw a demon at one time punching a preacher on his belly while another two demons was holding them by the arm. They were being punched. And it looked to me they could not get away from the demon. The demon was too strong for them. And I could see them causing them in great pain as they were beating this person. My brother and sister, one of the matter that we know that they beat them for is so they will worship the devil, but the Christian refuses to, and they get beaten every day for it. But God has said to Sister Celeste that if they do worship the devil, they will stay there, those that will do that. God knows. I believe God's not going to give them more than what they can handle. I believe that these people, what they got, they can deal with it. If they really cry out to the Lord can hear their prayer. My brother, it's not a right place to be. But they're not Israel in the times of Hitler in Germany and that in the gas chamber. They did. They were beaten. Some were shot on their heads. My brother and sister, okay? It's true. This is a fact. It is a fact that millions, 6 million lost their life. It is a fact that King Nebuchadnezzar put the army of the Lord back in the time of Jeremiah through the sword. It's a fact that the Roman, after Jesus left, killed millions of Jewish people and that they destroyed the temple until this day. It is a fact that these things have been happening. My brothers and sisters, amen. We'll keep your mom in prayer. It's a fact. And it's been happening, and it's going through. My brother, my sister. But all this is for us to humble ourselves and pray and call upon the name of the Lord and wish where we can be saved. Repent of your sin. Repent of your trespasses. My brother and sister, every day, don't put off repenting with the Lord. commit your life to him. Be careful with video games. A lot of people playing video games that are full of demons, bringing demons into their homes, blocking their ears and their understanding of the Word of God. My brother and sister, very important. The Lord is not pleased with these people that are playing demonic game every day. And the Lord in his mercy is trying to deliver us every day from the plan of the wicked one. He's fighting for us. He's interceding for us. But we must seek to be obedient. I heard a pastor say yesterday that God, through the Bible, has blessed the obedient, never the disobedient. And all those that were obedient to God, like Abraham, when God called him from the land of his parents into a land that he was showed him, which he gave unto him later on. When Abraham obeyed, it was counted unto righteousness and faith to God by God. But only when he obeyed, only when Abraham said to Sarah and all his slaves, let's go. Let's go to where God is sending us to. And got up, packed, and left. And that will come faith, that will come obedience before the Lord. Not before, afterward, they took action. When you will take the action to be an obedient, that's when you begin to see God's fighting in your behalf. That's when you will see God. Thank you, Lord. He wants to show himself in our life through faith. But that takes action. Obedience, which to God is better than sacrifice. My brother and sister, we're living in the last of the last. Judgment is at the door, especially in this country, America. Judgment is heading this way. And it's a judgment that will not be put off anymore. We were listening to a prophet that I'm going to play in a few. That she got a revelation of what is to come upon America. My brother and sister, she's in South Africa. And the Lord's been giving her dream and vision of what is to come. And she's talking about this year judgment over America. This year, she says. My brother and sister, I have listened to two other prophets. Another prophet, this year, the Lord says, the Lord's giving her a word from 1984. I play it here in the Lord's Hour. This year, the Lord says, stand, my daughter, and speak to America. The prophecy I have given you back in 84. And it's a judgment and destruction coming this way. And she went and made a video and put it on YouTube. And what the Lord has said to her, starting this year, the Lord said to put out the prophecy. Another brother from 2001, this year, the Lord says, to put out what the Lord giving him in 2001, that is for this year beginning of judgment and destruction. And I heard the Lord says to me after he showed me, pointing to California and then seeing the eastern tsunami coming, that this year will not pass until this thing comes. My brother and sister, we're in the year that the Lord says to me, they will see this year. They will see. Okay? No more about the spoken words. Hearing. Like they have heard from year after year, the Lord speaking to his prophet about the things to come. And people waited year after year and they did not see because they were supposed to be getting ready with the warning. The prophet was sent to the people to tell the people to prepare even before COVID-19 at the end of 2019. Before it showed up in China, before 2019, since 2017, the Lord has been speaking to me about this virus that will be throughout the world. And I kept asking the Lord, I kept speaking, and I remember in the early 2019, a sister says to me and a brother, brother, you've been speaking about this virus that is coming that will be worldwide. Where is it, Brother Elvie? Where is it? At the end of 2019, she says to me, Brother Elvie, there is a virus starting in China. And I wonder if this is the virus that God has been talking to you about. I said, I believe it is. It must be it. Because we were in November. We're talking about November, middle of November, November 20 plus of 2019. And she's telling me this virus is making a scandal in China. Do you think this is the virus, Brother Ellie? And I said, yes, I believe it is, I said. And I don't know for sure, but I believe it is, because the Lord says the virus will take the world. And she said, Brother Ellie, you got to be careful as a prophet that you don't keep saying these things. I'm going to give you a warning, Brother Ellie. Don't be going online telling people about this virus that will be all over the world. Because if this go on one more year, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm not going to listen to you as a prophet of the Lord. I respected you this year, but I will not listen to you anymore. Because you said this virus on the earth, God told you already, in 2019. And it's going to be all over the world. And we don't see this virus only in China. It's not going to be all over the world, Brother Elby. Well, I said, sister, just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. We'll see. By February of 2020, the virus was already in Germany. It was already in France. It was already in New York. It was already in California. It was spreading quickly. And that's when she realized and said, Brother Elby, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And the other brother said, I'm really sorry, Brother Elby, with what we said. Because, you know, you kept saying this in 2017. I've been listening to you. And you keep saying about this virus that will be all over the world. All over, you said, Brother Elby. That's the word you use. She was telling me. But now I realize that it's already like in 4 countries or more. And then by June, July, we were in lockdown, no? Of 2020. Our country were in lockdown by June, July, April, June. We were in lockdown. The virus was everywhere. And it's been everywhere. My brother, there's a second virus now that I talked about coming, that I just heard another prophet prophesying this. There's a second virus coming, which I say here in the Lord's hour, that people, before their body drop to the floor, are going to be dead. This virus is closer than ever. And I won't be surprised if it starts this year. Listen, so people won't be surprised when it do start. This virus, I believe, may start this year. If we're around next year, it might still be here. But for some reason this year, this bigger virus, deadliest virus, may be here this year. I'm not saying this because the Lord revealed it to me. It's going to be here this year. It's just I feel that this is the timing because I heard another prophet saying, prophesying this, that another virus is around the corner. And to me, when she was saying it, I felt like it's this year. She said a week ago or two that this new virus, deadliest virus, is really, really close, she says, around the corner. And when she was prophesying this, I felt it like in my spirit, like, oh, this is here this year. This must be here in 20, because this year started, she prophesied this. 24 started, she prophesied this. And now I felt it. I felt it very strong that this virus is going to be here this year. Now, I could be wrong about this. The Lord, I didn't hear the Lord speak to me about it, that it's going to be here this year, but I felt it. This is the year that we might see like COVID-19 in 2019. It was only like in China. This virus may start this year like in one country, an example, and people expect not going to spread all over the world. This new virus, like COVID-19, the same, it's going to be all over the world. People all over the world will be dropping dead. Okay? Now, it could start this year in another country. And then 2025 can be all over the world already, like we did with COVID-19. The matter here is that we need to be right with God every day of our lives. Every day you repent. Don't go to bed without praying. get up and pray. Repent your sin to the Lord. Ask the Lord to keep you ready to go home and protect you from this new virus. Because I was standing in the revelation of the Lord about this new virus, and this woman got it, and she's screaming pain, and a police officer that was in New York City ran to her before her body hit the floor. The officer confirmed that she was dead already. Put his finger on her neck, she was dead. And people were screaming. And the same were other people that got it. Before they dropped to the floor of the body, they were dead. My brother and sister, this is going to be the deadliest virus I ever heard. And this is to say, it's practically here. And the Lord has warned. And now we need to, again here, this year on the Lord's Hour, I'm going to keep warning people about this new virus, because I feel like this year will be the beginning of it. In some country, somewhere, this virus is going to begin. And then it's going to spread all over the world. For so many are going to drop dead. That I believe if we tell people, listen, get right with God, repent, before this new virus comes, people can repent before they die. And then I believe they can be safe and go to heaven, at least to the valleys in heaven, but still be in heaven, my brother and sister, and be delivered from going to hell, for losing their soul, losing their salvation, losing their life. Because going to hell is losing everything, my brother and sister. The only symptom I can see of this virus was like their eyes about to burst, if I can explain it. Their eye got really red. The side of the eyes, the sight, it's like you could see blood coming out of, dripping out of their eyes immediately. And that was a symptom that people were looking not to touch the people, the person. Now, the only thing I could not tell with this virus, if it was airborne, if people could breathe and you can get it. I just saw that a person got it, dropped dead. Another person about 50 feet away got it and dropped dead. Could be the water. Could be through the medicine. There's a lot of ways I believe the virus can be acquired or received or transmitted, the word, you know? And if it's airborne, people coughing into the air the virus, and then someone walking by it and breathing it in, because now there's a lot of more study that even COVID, it stays, I think it's 10, 20 minutes in the air before, you know, when someone coughs in the air and then someone breathes that air, that goes by 20 minutes after. I heard of cases where a person coughs over a metal and someone went and laid their hand on the metal and got it. Or if you're eating and someone coughs near you, and the virus goes even to your food and you eat it, you get it. You know, there's so many ways. Sharing food, sharing liquids, and, you know, person to person also is, they're going to be, I noticed one thing. For some reason, the Lord wanted to show me this, that there were people like in New Jersey, when this virus was going from New York to New Jersey is, that were refusing to sleep with their partner, going to bed with the partner. And they felt that that would keep them from receiving the virus. Because let's say if your husband go to work and you stay home, mom, and then he brings the virus, you can die as he will die. So some people were refusing to be in with that other person, okay, not to get it, and that seems to keep them alive, my brother and sister. There was a program I watched years ago that there were not new babies being born. in the United States. It was like a prophecy put in a movie or in a program that was new, that was not new baby being born in the United States. And the fact is that people were not coming in together. If there's no baby being born, couples are not coming in together in the days to come. And that's what the Lord was showing me in New Jersey, for example, from New York to New Jersey, that as people were not coming in together to being together, to sleeping in the same bed, that will keep people from getting the virus. Okay? So wife was staying away from the husband, not to receive the virus. But the husband was dropping dead, but the wife was staying alive because they refused to be in with them. I guess that's how people figure out that that was the best way to stay alive. And that's what the Lord was showing me specifically, that in the days to come, the way wives were staying away from receiving the virus from the husband was for not being with the husband. And the husband was dropping dead. And I guess they were okay with it because they were still, the wife was still alive. You know? So, and the other thing will be they'll probably have to put masks in their own homes, wear gloves, use a lot of cleaning supply, like things with bleach and other chemical agents to kill the virus. There is, I believe it's Lysol spray. It says that kill COVID-19 in the bottle, right? The Lysol spray?
Yeah.
Which a lot of people were pointing out to. And then so if you use Lysol spray, which is not good for your health, I notice it's not good for your health, it weakens your immune system. I noticed that. You know, it might be something that we might have to have a box of Lysol spray in our bathroom. So when these things are happening, we can spray our bathroom, we can spray at home, we can, and then remain away from our partner until, I guess, we wait and to see what happens with the virus. You know? But one thing I noticed, that this was removing a lot of people. There was a lot of people dead. There were people dead at home when I was there in that revelation that the authority didn't know they were dead. And so since so many people are dropping dead, the authority was like waiting to see the outcome. Because since you don't know how the virus is being transmitted, you cannot be sending people to your house to get your bodies out. And there were people dead at home that the body was still not taken out of the house when the Lord was showing me this, my brothers and sisters. And so, and we have a lot of questions and more questions that come through all this. Because I was there, and there were a lot of people wondering, how are they going to get all these people out of these homes that were dead because of the virus? They dropped that in their home, in the floor, anywhere. And the ambulance and the emergency were still not being active to get them out, to go get those body out, even after days being there. For the fear of this body being, of the virus being transmitted one way or another, if the scientific community feel that they don't have a way yet or firm information on how the virus is transmitted, they're going to try to keep themselves alive, even run to the bunkers and stay alive until they at least wait the virus passes or leaves or the air clear, as they say. I mean, things are going to get a little bit weird and deadly in the days to come. And this is why getting ourselves right with the Lord now. You don't want to find yourself in the middle of a pandemic, another pandemic, deadliest pandemic that is coming, without being right with God. My brothers and sisters, I believe, this is my opinion, that the Lord is about to rapture his people out. And then those that will stay behind will encounter the virus. That's what I believe. Because then, like you said, you have the question, what happened with the children? What happened with this and that? And I don't remember seeing children in this. I saw a lot of adults, but I didn't see children. So I believe that was a sign that the people are going to be raptured first, and then the other things will come to pass. But this is practically here. There are several things that are practically here that before we, I play an audio that we have ready from the sister, from the prophet. There's several things that are ready that that are about to happen. One is this deadly virus, nuclear war that is about to begin also, invasion to America that are about to begin. War in the Middle East like never before. Iran is well prepared to go to war with Israel. And Israel, the only way they're going to defend themselves from Iran is launching nuclear weapon on Iran. But Iran and China and Russia have made a pact, agreement, that if Iran is nuclear, China can nuclear Israel or Russia. So Israel cannot nuke Iran right now. They cannot nuke Iran. And since Russia and China know that if Iran gets nuked by Israel, they will nuke Israel, and they will have to nuke the United States, who is partnered with Israel. So we're talking about a mess coming, about to happen, maybe this year, 2024. I will not disregard this year like many are, because the Lord said many will see. Here is one of the latest revelations the Lord given me. I was asking about this brother, the Lord said he's going to take home this year. I was asking the Lord about it. So give us a week when he will be taking him home. And the Lord gave me a week sign. I was standing here in the United States, in North Carolina, looking to the west. And he showed me a week to coming very soon. I saw a mushroom cloud. What is it, mushroom cloud?
Yeah.
A mushroom cloud coming in a weekend. And then that same weekend, he was taken home. His landlord called and said, "Brother Obi, are you so-and-so? This person left your number for me to call you. And I found his body. He's dead." That was a clear confirmation. But the mushroom cloud, the mushroom cloud that I saw, I was looking west from here to the west. I don't know what's going to cause this mushroom cloud. I don't know if Russia or China will cause it. Could be someone inside our country. Things with China, with Texas and Washington are not good. They're not doing good. They're not doing good at all. They were cutting, agents from Biden were cutting wires in Texas again. The governor of Texas are really angry, like you never seen them before. Okay? They're provoking them and provoking them. I don't know how much provocation from Washington are they going to take. I don't think much. And this is all plan of the Antichrist. Keep provoking them until they do something, so they can be blamed of starting the mess. Depopulation is the Antichrist agenda. The Mahdi is standing in Iran and standing with Iran and all the leaders of the Arab country. The Lord took me there 3 weeks ago. He was there. He was talking with them. He promised them victory. He promised the Iranian leader and all the leaders there against Israel and the United States victory. 100% victory, said the Mahdi, which we call the Antichrist. My brother and sister, he promised them victory. Okay? I remember when Father says to me last year, "I will allow him to do this," in regard to what he was coming to do in this country, that he will allow when he showed me the Antichrist. I saw him controlling the army of the United States. I was like, "Wait a minute, he's not the president anymore of our country. Why is he controlling our army, our men and women in uniform?" He was controlling, they were obeying his order. When I looked closely, the army paying attention to whom they were. They were hybrid. I can see they have their helmet, the SWAT helmet, and one of them raised the glass, the shield, and when I look to his eyes, I can see the serpent eyes in him and the serpent tongue. I can see a hybrid. He was hybrid, pure hybrid. The Antichrist, a hybrid. I seen them in Washington. The Lord took me one time. They're there. When the Mahdi was in office in Washington, he had the hybrid with them. My brother insisted. Hybrids, by million they have. That is the army. Baffled and sisters. Sad, but it's true. This is what we are today. This is the fact of the matter. I will go on Tuesday night. I'm going to go into the Feast of the Trumpet. And there's a reason why, and I'm going to explain it to you on Tuesday night. It's very important we talk about the Feast of the Trumpet. I wanted to talk about it tonight. But since the Lord has shown me these things that are important to the Lord, it has to be important to us. And this is why I wanted to share these things tonight. Hallelujah. I thank my brother Tony for joining us tonight. Amen. You have anything to say before we play the audio, brother?
No, not really.
Amen. Thank you for all the information you share, brother.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Let me play this audio.
Shalom, everybody. Welcome to my channel. Okay, so today I do have a warning dream. Again, yes, we are in unprecedented times in this world, and God is busy warning through his people. We have to take note of what he says. Okay, so my last warning was about World War III. If you haven't seen those videos, I urge you to go and have a look at them. Very serious. We've seen an escalation in the wars that have taken, that is busy taking place surrounding Israel right now. We have seen other wars break out in Africa. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And then a few weeks ago, I have this warning dream. And in the dream, God shows me, he gives me the warning, and he gives me a sign in the dream I'm going to share with you now, but he doesn't tell me what exactly is the warning about. And significantly this week, I had two people contact me that are very close to the ministry that I've known for a while now. And they don't know each other, by the way. They both had three dreams, okay, to give to me, to share with me, that the Lord put on their heart. And I realized that in dissecting these dreams, that they were such a confirmation of things that I have already prophesied, but also something new added to it. And that this was the what. What was God warning us about? So God really worked, Father worked in a completely different way for the first time. And I feel like it's just, again, this confirmation. This is coming. Warning. This is coming. So yes, I sound like a broken record. I know. This is my job. I have to obey the Lord. I have to tell you what he says, okay? I can't say peace when there is no peace. Yet there's so many of them that are saying peace, okay? But it's not the season that we are in, unfortunately, and we have to be, as the bride, we have to be ready. We have to be prepared, and that's what God is trying to do for us, all right? So in my dream, okay, I am at this place, and I'm with a couple. It's on their property. And they, I'm looking around, and the woman starts to show me a house. I'm looking at the house, she's showing me the house, and I look past the house, and I see that the house is, at the back of the house, there's nothing. It's wilderness. There is nothing around it. No other houses. I just see wilderness. All right. And the woman speaks to me in that moment. She says, "This is our place of safety." Very significant. This is very significant. I'm going to tell you why a little bit later. I'm actually going to make a whole other video just about this. All right. So she turns to me, says, this is a place of safety. And the next thing, I'm standing with my husband, and we're looking at a computer. Oh, not a computer. Sorry, I'm looking at a computer screen right now. We're looking at a television screen. And what's playing on the television screen is a countdown to a solar eclipse. And me and my husband in the dream, we didn't know this was coming. But on the TV screen, it's playing. It's going to happen soon. And as I'm watching, I suddenly see many TV screens pop up in front of me. And I know that this, in the dream, I know that this is about the world watching. The world is watching this solar eclipse. It's a very big event. Everybody's getting ready for it. Everybody knew about it, except us, of course, because we don't watch TV. But yeah, it's very serious. Okay, everybody's watching it. The next thing, my husband turns to me and he says something very strange. He says, this is going to last for 6 hours. I said, okay. And suddenly I say to him, listen, we've got to get home because it's going to be dark. And that means we have a very dangerous road to travel. We've got to go. So I say to the woman, and as I'm saying to the woman, we've got to leave. We've got to get home. I see the road home in my mind's eye. I see it, this long road in the dark. And I see how there's certain areas where we have to cross the road. And there's no stop streets, there's no traffic lights, so we have to, in dense traffic, get over many areas of a road to get home, which means the road is quite dangerous. Now, that's also very significant, and that's the end of the dream. I knew this was a prophetic dream, that this was a warning, that things were, there's danger ahead, but I didn't know what. So I would keep asking God, well, what is this about? You know, what? First thing I did was go and look. Is there a solar eclipse coming? And lo and behold, we have a solar eclipse that's happening on the April the 8th this year. Okay, so there's one around the corner. Let's quickly jump into scripture though. Okay, I want to show you something because the first thing that came to my mind in the dream, I'm being told that there's going to be 6 hours of darkness. Now listen, a solar eclipse doesn't last that long. Any of you that might know, it's usually between 3 to 7 minutes. Okay, it's not very long. But there is a time of darkness that is spoken about that lasted for hours, and that was when Jesus was crucified. So let's quickly jump to that. Luke 23, verse 44 says the following. It says, now it was about the sixth hour. The sixth hour was midday. It was noon. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. This is broad daylight, that suddenly there is darkness. What causes that? A solar eclipse, okay? This solar eclipse lasted 3 hours. This was very significant because it signified something bad had just happened. They just crucified the Son of the living God. And God sent that solar eclipse as a sign. All right? Because why? In Genesis we read that the sun and the moon and the stars has been given for seasons, in other words, time, and also for signs. So God will use the celestial bodies to give us a sign of something coming. All right? And that's exactly what my dream is about. It's a sign, the solar eclipse is being given as a sign of imminent danger. All right? Then astonishingly, I found an exact example of this in the Bible as well. Turn with me to Amos 8 from verse 1 to 14. It says the following. I'm going to read as much as possible to you. You can go read it yourself. But I want you to see the context of this solar eclipse that God is prophesying. He says to Amos, he says, Amos, what do you see? He says, I see a basket of summer fruit. Then God responds and he says, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be wailing in that day, says the Lord. many dead bodies everywhere. They shall be thrown out in silence. Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon pass that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat? Okay? That we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and even sell the bad wheat. The Lord has sworn, surely I will never forget any of their works, he says. Jump to verse 9. It shall come to pass in that day, listen, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, darken the earth in broad daylight. That's what the Lord, he prophesies, a solar eclipse, okay, at midday. Sorry. He prophesies that this will be a sign of the coming judgment on Israel. He says, he continues to say, I will turn your feasts into mourning and your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and boldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son. Here we see a connection to the crucifixion of Jesus and its end like a bitter day. Behold, the days are coming that I will send a famine on the land. This is the list of judgments. And the darkness during midday is the sign of it coming. So we see the example in the Bible, okay? And I've prophesied famine is coming. Wait till you hear the dreams these people have had. Although here God says not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord, I've also prophesied this. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. In that day, the fair virgins and strong young men shall faint from thirst, okay, and they shall fall and never rise again. So I find this very interesting that God already, two very significant events, judgment on Israel and the crucifixion of our Lord, was signified or emphasized with a sign of the sun being darkened. All right? And in the same way, in my dream, this event signified coming danger. All right. So what is the coming danger? First, let's just go quickly to the solar eclipse. I want you to understand how rare this is. This is a full solar eclipse. It's not just a partial one. It is a full one. It's only going to be visible in North America, Mexico, USA, and Canada. That is very important, I believe. Take note of these countries, North America, Mexico, USA, and Canada. The next one is only in 2026, and it will not be over the same place. It will be in Greenland, Iceland, and Spain. The next time North America will see a solar eclipse is only in 2033, and the USA in 2045. They say that it takes 400 to 1,000 years before a full solar eclipse is visible again in the same area. That's how rare it is, okay? I need you to understand, God uses this as an indication of the time that we are living in, the season that we are in right now. All right, so two prominent things in my dream. One is a place of safety. That's important, and that's something God has been speaking to me about. Like I said, I'm going to make another video about it. Watch out for that. And then that there is danger ahead. All right, so now two people this week, days apart, one sent the dreams the one day, the next person. They didn't know about each other. They don't know each other. They didn't know the other was sending me dreams. They didn't know anything, okay? But here, just before I do the video, God sends me the what. What is coming? And like I said, it's such a confirmation of what I have already prophesied. All right. Now, the first person dreams three dreams in one night. So he dreams a dream. He wakes up because it's that disturbing. He prays, goes back to sleep, and he dreams again. another dream. Same thing happens after the second dream. He wakes up, prays, goes to sleep, and he has a third dream that's even worse than the rest. All right, so first dream. This is prophetic dream straight out. We don't have to interpret it. It tells us exactly what it says is what it means. Okay? He says he dreams he walks into a store to buy bread. The store is in total chaos. People were grabbing food and beating each other. He started shooting at people with a gun to defend himself. The owner of the store was holding his head out of shock and fear, having absolutely no control over the situation. Okay, like I said, he wakes up now and he prays. Second dream. He's in the streets this time. There is total anarchy. People are beating each other, killing and looting. This has already happened in South Africa, by the way. It was every man for himself. Defend yourself and get to safety. Bullets flying everywhere. Again, he wakes up, he prays, goes back to sleep. He has another dream. He says it was like he was back in the army. He was on patrol in a town and he comes upon a child. Very significant. The child was handed an AK-47 by an adult and told to shoot and kill. His only choices when facing this child with a gun was either kill the child or be killed. In the dream, there was no orders given to him. It was either the child's life or his. Now, this is very significant because astonishingly, we see a connection between this person's third dream and the other person's third dream. Take note. All right, the other person's dreams. Now, her dreams were a lot longer, and you had to dissect and get the message out of the dream. So I'm not going to go into detail about her dreams. I'm going to tell you what I got out of it. And you'll see that there is a lot of similarities, especially in the third dream. All right, first dream. What was significant to me was that God was highlighting Russia. Now, I've already prophesied regarding Russia. We've got to watch what's happening in Russia, okay? And in the dream, God was saying that we are not prepared for what is coming from Russia. We are not prepared. Throughout her dreams, there's this consistent message of being unprepared. We are not prepared for what is coming. What do you think God is warning us? To scare us? To cause fear? No. We do not have a spirit of fear. Nothing should cause us to fear. Regardless of what I warn you about or what destruction lies at noonday, it doesn't matter. It shouldn't cause you fear if you're a Christian. You know, we say, oh, prophets, you know, you stop saying these things because you're causing fear. How can you call yourself a Christian if you are always in fear or in what you hear and what you see is happening in the world? Because it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but rather love, power, and a sound mind. That is what we have. Amen. So we shouldn't fear these things. God is warning us so that we can prepare. All right. So watch out for Russia. Other than the countries I've already mentioned where the solar eclipse is going to be, write this down. Watch these countries. Also watch Russia. Very important. Then the next night, she doesn't have all of them in one night. She has them night after night. The next night, she has another dream. And in this dream, again, there is this unpreparedness highlighted. We are not prepared for a very important event. We are not prepared. Could this be pointing to World War III? Probably. We are not prepared. Again, in this dream, another country is highlighted, and that's France. I find this interesting because the EU has put the EU has put these rules in place regarding climate change over the European farmers. And they are standing up, and it all started in France. Okay, so I've already been watching France closely It started in France, where the farmers revolted and stood up against it. They blockaded the roads. They are burning tires, dumping manure on parliament buildings. That it's going nuts out there. And it's spread to many other countries in Europe. The whole of Europe is now protesting against these rules. So I find it very interesting that God has highlighted France. Okay? Remember in the other dreams, we are seeing a scarcity of food. So see the connections there. I've already prophesied a famine is coming. A famine is coming. Are you ready? We've been trying to get people ready because a famine is coming and people are still not ready. It's going to be bad out there. All right. And a statement is made that I'm unsure of, but I'm going to mention this statement anyway because it stood out to me. In the dream, she is told that things are not organized, except Cape Town, of course. So I'm not sure what is organized in Cape Town, but that could just be pointing to South Africa, that we need to be organized, that we as a nation need to be organized. Because throughout the dream, we see that people are not organized, okay? People are not prepared for what's coming. All right, third night, she has another dream. Listen to this. There's an attack on a school, and they were looking for children, specifically. There's a mother and a child that's trying to hide, but they are found. What was significant in this dream, that there were other children. Okay, children that were not part of the school was also there, and these children were also the perpetrators. So what you had was children doing really bad things to other children. She didn't go into detail. I'm not sure if they were killing or what they were doing, but you had children attacking other children. You see the connection between both of the people's third dreams? And then the last part, I also am unsure about this connection, but I feel I need to mention it. In the last part of the dream, she saw a symbol for the Monster energy drink. You know that three stripes? She saw that in the last part of the dream. All right. Now, I gathered both these people's three dreams, and I was already busy preparing, and then she let me know that she had another dream that I needed to add, and I believe it's important because in this fourth dream, there were also things happening where people were being killed. It was a war, and everybody knew that this was normal. Our children are going, and I mean adult children, are in the war, and they're going to get killed. But in this dream, there is a small child, and he's in danger, and she starts worshiping God. And everybody starts worshiping God around her, and it happens to save this child's life. Listen, this has been brought up to us before through our prophetic intercessor. She's also had dreams where there was danger, and she started praising God. And through praise, she was delivered. All right? So we see this happening. Please remember that. Should you ever be in a very difficult, dangerous situation that you are not prepared for, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Sing his praises. Okay. All right. Now, the highlights of all of these dreams. We see widespread violence. We see murder. We see chaos. We see looting and famine. We see all of these things being highlighted. These are all things that I have already prophesied. Like I said, go and watch the prophecies. If you have not seen the prophecies of World War III, which I released, I think it was October of last year, go and have a look. It's so important. All right? We see warnings that we are unprepared for what is coming. And we see children becoming terrorists. Now you'll say, Rebecca, this is insane. No, it's not. It's already happening. All right. There's been video footage taken by the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, after going into Gaza. There's been video footage documentation of the schools in Gaza and how for many years, who knows how many years, they've been raising little terrorists from birth already, they tell them that Jews are their enemy and Jews deserve to die. They give them books in preschools written by Hitler. They give them guns and teach them how to use guns. They teach them that the most important thing in their existence is to kill a Jew, and then they will go to heaven. Our children, and that's not the only place it's happening, I've heard of stories happening all over Africa where little children are being trained to be terrorists. Look at what is happening in America even. Right now, we have university students standing up in America, okay, with boycotting and putting up these placards saying, kill the Jews, kill the Jews. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. You know, people go in and ask them, interview them and say, well, do you know what you are saying when you say from the river to the sea? You know, do you know what river? They don't even know what river they're talking about. To the sea, do you know what sea? They don't even know what sea it is, okay? Kill the Jews anyway. These kids, they're still young adults, they're kids, have no idea what they're standing up for. They've been told something, they believe it, they don't even know what it's about, they don't know the history of the nations, they have no idea, they're being indoctrinated to kill. Understand this. Kill. And this is spreading worldwide. It's okay to kill Jews. It's okay to take life. All right? So yes, our children are being indoctrinated. We are participating in it. How are we participating in it? You'll say, Rebecca. Through television and through games. I'm shocked. You know, we've traveled all over South Africa. We've lived in almost every town. We've met all kinds of people from all kinds of places. And the number one thing that is consistent with parents and their children and Christians, I'm talking about Christians, not just worldly people, they are allowing their children to play the most violent games. It's okay. You understand that you're training your child to be numb to human life, the value of human life, and to know that, to think that it's okay to kill? Do you understand what you are doing? When you allow your children to play these violent games and kill, and it's becoming more real and more real every time they upgrade these games and these, I don't even know, right now you can get in there and feel like you're really doing it yourself. You know, you're stabbing people, you're shooting people. You're just wonderful. We allow it as parents. We also allow our children to watch horror movies. Do you know how much I have to protect my own children against other believers' children? I thought, wow, people are Christians, it's okay, good friends, yes, you know, be friends with my kids, it's awesome. Biggest mistake. The most influences that I've had to fight in my own family from other Christians' children that influenced them. We don't allow that kind of stuff in our house. But they already know all about these horror movies. They know that this happens in that one. And then we ask, well, how do you know that? You've never been allowed to watch that. Oh, no, this one told me because they can watch it. Oh. You know, you do so much work in your child to protect them. And then someone else's child comes along and just unravels all of the work that you've done. Because we as Christians allow our children to watch screens where people are getting murdered or chased by ghosts, or, you know, I am shocked. I really am at what we do and what we allow into the minds of our children. Listen, this generation is going to grow up and rule the world. Think about that. This generation that is numb to the value of human life and is used to violence, murder, blood, guts being spilled all over the screens. This generation is going to one day rule the world. Do you want to be in that world when they are in power? Think about that. Unfortunately, we're waking up too late. It's already happening. All right. So please watch out for these things. This coming April, I believe things are going to escalate. God is going to use it as a sign to warn humanity. Judgment is imminent. It's coming. There's nothing we can do about it, but we can prepare. And right now, God is warning us we are not prepared. All right. Now, there's this place of safety. I am not going to go into detail. I have my reasons, my personal reasons that I cannot share with you right now. I am not going to go into detail about it right now, but I'm going to make another video and share as much as what I'm allowed to share online. And then those who are interested can jump on board and you will get all the details. Okay. But I cannot share all the details about this online, and there's a good reason for it. All right. So we are busy preparing. You know, we're building the house of God. We are in the wilderness. Yes, we are in the Northern Cape. I cannot reveal the location yet, but we are in the Northern Cape, and we are in the middle of the wilderness, just like in my dream. And I believe that we are building the house of God. He's also, as I've shared with you before, we are planting, we are growing food. Father told me many, many years ago that I have a Joseph's anointing, that when it gets really bad, we will be a house of provision as well. So all of this is happening at once on this property. We are making sure right now we're simply growing for seed so that we can multiply our seed storage and have enough food for maybe hundreds of people when the time comes. And at the same time, the Father is also putting on my heart to build community, a place of safety, a place where people will be able to come and live in a Christian community run by a Christian and not a cult leader. Yeah. So, yeah, I mentioned cult leaders because I've been studying cults in the last few weeks, and you'll be amazed at how many cults we have in South Africa. I'm going to get into detail about that in my next videos as well, so watch out for that. Listen, if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe, like this video so that it pops up in your feed. Because, yes, ministry update. Okay, things are changing because my focus has to change. I have to start walking out the things that God wants from me as an apostle. And that means that certain things have to come to an end, all right? And there's a couple of reasons for that. I know some of you are going to be disappointed, and I'm so sorry for that. But listen, it's not the end. It's not the end. So what am I talking about? All right, so my online ministry is coming to an end. I am going to get off of social media. Not immediately. I'm going to continue until the end of June. By then, I want to be off. I'm not going to be available on other social media platforms. I have decided to keep YouTube so that the videos continue to go out to those who need to hear it and need to hear the messages of the Lord. And if there is anything new that the Father gives me after June, I will still be able to share it with you. But I'm not going to be online anymore. Other platforms where you've been connected with me, I'm going to shut them down. I'm getting off of social media as much as possible, all right? You will still be able to connect with me on my website. We are building a new website because our whole vision is changing and how we do ministry is changing. So we've decided to go from old to new, do away with the old website and jump onto a new one. I will notify you when that new one is ready, all right? We will send out email, bulk email notifications. So when the new one is ready, you'll have to go jump on and register your email address so that we can still communicate with you. All right. So what am I going to be focusing on? Obviously, I'm focusing on building the house of God, preparing a place for people here, really doing what an apostle should do, and that is plant a Christian community. It's so much more than just planting a church, okay? We have been in, I'm going to do a video about this as well. What is an apostle? What does God expect from an apostle? You're going to be astonished because it's incredible what the Father has revealed. So yes, an apostle plants a Christian community. It's not just about a church, because the church is the community. So it's not just about building a building. and taking honor for that. No, it's about so much more. We're going back to biblical standards where the apostles built Christian communities. Oh, it's something I'm very passionate about. Can't wait to do big project, massive project that we are undertaking. But we believe with God all things are possible. I'm already having people contact me. I mean, this is the first time I'm making this public. I'm already having people contact me before they knew a thing that they prayed and God led them to us. And they know that they're going to have to come. How amazing is that? Before I said a word, someone sent me an email and they know that they're supposed to come to us. That's God. That's what he does. He will confirm his word to his servants. All right. So yes, how am I going to be ministering? Let me get into that quickly. Books. I have such an anointing. I can feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit lately to write. Okay. I already have my next book lined up. I can't wait. I really have a passion for it. There's such a fire in me to write. There's so much I need to write about. And I believe actually I'm going to reach more people through books than I will through online videos. Because people's attention span is very short, unfortunately, especially when watching something. Right now we're in half an hour into this video, and I can tell you out of, say, 100 people that started watching this video, only 10 remains. That's how short people's attention span is. They can't watch something that's longer than 10 minutes. But a book you can read, you can really take time to take it in, put it down when you can't anymore and pick it up again. So for me, it just makes sense. Isn't that how God has reached us for thousands of years through his book? Makes sense? So I can't wait to write. And you will be notified of the books that I write through our website. Maybe I might do a video about it, but please register for our new website when it is available. Okay. The next way I'm going to be ministering is obviously here, where I am, where I'm planted. It's time to focus on community here. It's time to do what I do in real, one face-to-face. I have to start doing that, okay? It's very important. The online ministry was for a time and for a season, and that season has come to an end. Now, God is taking me into a new season, which I'm very excited about. And then another thing, yes, some of you are going to be very disappointed and think you're never going to see me again. Please don't think that. I'm also going to start traveling a lot more. We're going to start planning events all over South Africa. So whatever church I get invited to or wherever we decide to put up an event, we will notify you. We will send out those bulk emails. Maybe we'll put up some posters in the area just to notify you that there will be an event where I will come and I will prophesy over people, lay hands, pray, all of these things. So you'll still have access to me. It's just going to be now and then whenever I'm in your area. Okay, so please watch out for that. I'm looking forward to that. I like that kind of thing much more than ministering online. To be able to go into an area, do what the Holy Spirit puts on my heart, bring deliverance, pray, baptize, do everything that is necessary. It's just so much better for me. I enjoy that. So yes, watch out for that as well. Okay, that's a mouthful. Sorry, but I had to share all of that with you. Then I also want to share what's coming online. Like I said, till end of June, I'm still going to be available online. Now, I want to warn you, this is going to be a time of shaking, okay? Everything that has been heaped up, everything that has been sitting on my heart for years now is coming out, okay? Like I said, I've been studying cults in the last few weeks. And I'm telling you now, we are sitting with cults in South Africa that you're not even aware of. You're probably giving them money every month. And you don't even realize that you are part of a cult. So this is going to be time of great exposing of darkness. I had a vision about this where God showed me fighting the spiritual battle. This is what he wants from me. And it is my responsibility as an apostle of the Lord to expose the works of darkness. If I don't, as we see in the churches in the book of Revelation, Jesus expected them to expose that which was false. Every church was supposed to expose it. me as a leader, I'm supposed to expose it. I'm going to be exposing false churches, false leaders, Christian cults, all of these kinds of things. Right now, the biggest cult, and so many people are going to be upset, but I'm telling you now, the biggest cult in the world right now is Islam. It has all of the signs of a cult, Islam. And it's busy rapidly taking over our world. It is not a religion. It is a cult. So yes, a lot of shaking going to happen. A lot of things. I'm warning you beforehand. If you don't want to see it, if you don't want your eyes exposed to it, don't watch it. It might upset a few of you, okay? It's going to upset many of them out there because I'm going to be exposing them, all right? I'm also going to be exposing false doctrine. I'm going to get into a lot of doctrines that are incorrect while I'm still online, and then I'm going to make my exit and leave the backlash online. Yeah. Anyway, blessings to all of you. Listen, again, God does not warn us to cause fear. It's so that we can prepare. He has a plan. You can be assured that if you are walking with Jesus, if you know Jesus, you will be safe. You will be prepared. But you've got to listen. You've got to obey. And if you can't hear and if you can't obey, at least pray that God will bring spirit-filled leaders across your path that will be able to lead you, that will be able to take you to those places of safety. Let's not trust in these governmental institutions, okay? Let's not trust in these people that have put themselves in a place of governance over us and told us what we, where we must go and what we must do, and we pay them money every month. And let me tell you, many of these type of institutions have all the signs of a cult. That's scary. And we don't even realize that we are participating in a cult. All right. So yes, that's coming. And then last but not least is that we need funding, obviously. This costs a lot of money to prepare all of this, to get our chicken coops running, to get meat production going, to get all of the infrastructure in place. And obviously the bigger thing than that is land. We absolutely need to get our hands on land if we are going to do this project. It is important, please, people, that we give towards the work of the Lord. If you believe in this vision, if you believe that this is what God is doing, and he's confirming through so many people that we don't even know them, that they know us. God is speaking to them about us. God is confirming the work that he is doing here, not just through us, but through many other people that are joining hands with us because the Lord sent them to. Please, we need the funding, all right? If there is anything that you can contribute financially, please do so. Right, this month has actually been really bad in terms of funding. We are in dire need as a ministry right now. We've barely been able to cover the bills. I know January has been hard for everybody, but if there's anybody out there who still has the funds to help us as a ministry, I urge you, please do so. Don't go to the website. It's been that bad that our website is down. This is how it is. I'm just going to tell you the truth. January's been bad. I think also I've been sick, so my face hasn't been around a lot, and out of sight, out of mind. So a lot of people don't tithe when they don't see your face all the time, which is understandable, but hey, we are still trying to do the work of the Lord here. So please, if there's anybody moved to sow financially, we are in desperate need right now. We've got bills to pay that we haven't paid. We've got infrastructure to get up, as in now. We don't have time to delay. We need to do it, okay? What I'm very excited about is, I'll share more about this in the next video when I talk about the place of safety, is we're going to open up a time for volunteers to come and help us because we need hands. Right now, it's just me, my family, and I, you know, trying to manage. We've got 4 hectares here, 4 hectares, trying to manage it. We've got a vineyard, we've got an olive grove, we've got fruit trees, we've got food growing, we've got crops, we've got herbs, we've got, you know, and I think it'll be an exciting time to arrange camps here when possible for volunteers to come and camp, and we're just going to have this Christian camp where people help us harvest and people help us plant, and we're going to pray together, we're going to worship together. I'm so excited. I think it's going to be amazing. But yes, I will notify all of you, all of the stuff that's on my heart eventually. Okay, right now, please help us. Help us. We need it desperately. And we need to make a success out of this. Okay, there's also going to be other things that we are going to start in terms of funding so that we don't have to beg every month. It's not nice. But yeah, some ideas the Father is putting in my heart of how to generate that continuous income so that we can make sure that we get everything done, because we don't have a lot of time. We really have to do this very quickly. All right, so like I said, website down. If you don't have our banking details, I will put my email address below. Please send us an email and we'll send you those banking details. I don't like to just put it on YouTube. So yeah, please, we'll send you banking details. If you have our banking details, wonderful. All right, blessings. Shalom. We'll chat again soon.
Hi, everybody. Yes, I am back, and I have an important message for South Africa tonight. All right, so I'm going to jump right into it. 2 weeks ago, I had this dream. This dream absolutely takes me by surprise. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not see this coming. I did not expect it. I did not envision this for our future in South Africa. It caught me by surprise so much that I did not release it immediately either. Okay, it made me that uncomfortable. And I knew that I just needed to get some clarity from the Lord. And I did something I never really do, ever, when getting a prophetic dream from the Lord, is I discussed it with somebody else, somebody I trusted. I knew that they knew a lot about prophecy, and I was wondering, really, I'm going to be honest, I was wondering, has anyone said anything like this before? Never do that, never. But the weight of this word was weighing heavily on me, and I can, I'm sure you can understand in just seeing the heading of this video. All right, so this is not something that I am happy to release. this is hard, but this 2023 seems to have been a year for me where the Lord is having me release really hard things. So I'm going to release it in faith tonight, and I'm going to give you a word from the Lord as well, which gave me a lot of clarity, especially in the last part of the dream, because I didn't have that clarity. As I share the dream with you, you'll understand. And yes, the Lord has spoken. So let's jump right in. So 2 weeks ago, I have this dream, all right? And in the dream, it's a very straightforward dream, the beginning of the dream, until you reach the end. It's very straightforward. I know how the Lord speaks to me. It's prophecy. And as I see it in the dream is exactly how it will happen. And what I see is the streets and the towns and the cities of South Africa. And I notice that suddenly there is the Russian army. The presence of the Russian army. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of these Russian soldiers all over the country. In every town, I'm specifically also shown the highways for some reason. They are everywhere, but they're peaceful. It's like, it's not as if war has broken out. Okay, please take note. They're everywhere, they're walking around. It's almost as if they're just there. And we, as the people of South Africa, we're taking notice of them, but we're kind of wondering, well, what are you doing here? But we're going about our normal business. And then I see how it's almost as if the dream moves rapidly now through this, how they suddenly, their intention is changing, and they are taking over peacefully, without bloodshed, without war. I don't see guns being shot. I don't see bombs going off. I don't see any of that. It's as if they just came in. They took occupation, and then suddenly we see how now their presence is being made known. they are, in the dream, they are really taking over. And now people in South Africa are becoming more fearful of their presence. And you see how instead of everybody going on their normal business, people are actually really afraid. And they are taking note of this Russian army that is in South Africa. And as I'm watching this play in front of me in the dream, I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me. And he says to me the following. He says, the reason they are doing it, okay, is because they want to beat America. That's what's said to me in the dream. So the intentions, why they're doing this, why they're taking occupation of South Africa is revealed to me in the dream. It's because America has the same intentions and Russia wanted to beat them to it, basically. Then the dream moves on and I see how suddenly, rapidly now, because of their presence, they've made their presence known all over South Africa. They are now lining up the citizens in these long lines. They have now taken over. They've made their intentions known to the South African people. Listen, I don't even see the South African army. I don't see anyone standing up against them. It's the strangest thing. It's like we just get taken over. They just come and they take us over. And then I see how everybody's lined up in these lines and they're marching us off somewhere. Now I see the guns, I see everything, the generals, I see the army just lining up everybody and marching them off somewhere. I don't see where to, but I see that everybody is forced to go somewhere against their will. And I'm in this line. And we're walking down while the army is marching us down. And I decide, no, I don't want to do this. There's this big wall. This is now the end of the dream. There's this big wall next to me. And I start scaling this wall, climbing this wall to try and, how can I say, not be detected by these soldiers that are marching the people down somewhere. So I climb this wall. And I managed to escape. And at the top of this hill or whatever, there are more generals sitting at the top of the hill of the Russian army. And I'm trying to hide. I'm trying to just get away. Eventually, I'm spotted. A general, it's specifically in the dream, it's a general that sees me. And in the dream, I'm no longer me, even though it is me. It's strange. I know God does this a lot with me. I am there watching, but the person that I am is not me. I'm a man, okay? And I'm trying to now think of a way to get out of being something done to. I don't know if they're going to kill me or whatever. And I say to the general asks me what I'm doing, and I say to the general, listen, I own a car dealership, and I was just wondering if you're interested in buying my cars. That's what I say to him, and he's very happy. He's happy at this. He wants what I have. He wants to buy this car that I want to sell him, and that's the end of the dream. So you can imagine the last part of the dream was quite something to try and figure out. It is my responsibility to tell you the right thing. So I really had to get some insight from the Lord regarding that last part. And I, after receiving the word today, I did get that insight. All right. So, as I said, the beginning of the dream is very clear. God is showing us that Russia desires to take occupation of South Africa. And the reason being is because America also has its sights on South Africa. Now, before I had the dream, I had no, this didn't cross my radar. I didn't read news about it. nowhere. It came out of nowhere. I didn't think about Russia invading us. I didn't think about even America. So two nations are revealed to me in the dream that desires to take occupation of South Africa. This was new to me. Never heard of this before. All right? You can understand my anticipation in releasing this prophetic dream. Then I spoke to somebody, and they prayed with me and gave me some insight. And the next day, the very